Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. If you guys have questions for John, text him in right now to 710-710. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Hey, we were talking about the Seahawks start their mandatory minicamp tomorrow.
Right.
What do you think happens with Jamal Adams? I said the best of both worlds. I don't expect him to participate working on a contract, but I'd love for him just to be there where we've seen players hanging out, they're watching, they're talking to guys, but they're not partaking in the actual drills. What do you think happens?
I think he shows up. I mean, I don't know if he does much. He may not, and that's understandable because he doesn't want to, you know, get an injury when he's trying to get a contract done. But, you know, Brady Henderson the other day for ESPN.com was saying they're making a little bit of progress, even though they're not close. And I think he wants to stay on the good side and, you know, not showing up, getting a $93,000 fine, that's not going to help matters. You know, it's not like I think that he's going to take the tack that he's going to hold out, but also he'd like to get something done. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, I don't see anything getting done here before like in August, because I think there's going to be time to get this thing done. But I think that, you know, there's got to be a recognition on the Seahawks part. If you don't get it done this year, if the cap goes up significantly, which it looks like it's going to, then it's going to be even more impossible to do it. So it's better to get it done early than late. And, you know, that's why I think you need to get it done before the start of the season.
You know, Dave and I talked about it earlier, saying, you know, John and Pete made this deal and they looked at every angle of it. And part of it is looking at what he was going to require in terms of an extension. Mm-hmm. So do you, and then we had somebody saying you guys are giving John and Pete way too much credit. I think that's part of the basics, understanding the dynamics of, okay, he's on a rookie contract. We're going to give up all this draft capital. He's going to want a new deal. We expect it to be somewhere in this neighborhood. I believe they've got a ballpark figure of what it will take to make him happy.
The big thing is if Jamal doesn't want to get too greedy about this thing, because I know that he has the record right now for sacks by a defensive back, but if he wants to be a sack guy and try to get the $17 million some defensive end's going to get, then that's not going to work out. I mean, the highest paid safety right now is Justin Simmons from the Denver Broncos, and he makes $15.25 million. And, you know, certainly this team, now that what they got the Michael Dixon deal done, has a little bit over an $8 million of cap room. And so my idea is that you go ahead and you try to get him done for 16. You know, maybe you get it from 15.75. I don't think you go to 17, but, you know, 500,000 here or there shouldn't be as much of a difference. And again, it's the way you structure the contract. I mean, you know, if for example, on the average, I mean, if he wants the bigger average, then you backload it. I mean, but you have to try to manage to get it through in a good, positive way. And then I know the other thing that, you know, cropped up today, which I think would be really interesting, and it's, I think there's a lot of divide on the idea. Stephon Gilmore did not show up for the New England Patriots. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's going to, you know, he's going to basically, and there's been rumors the entire offseason that he's not going to be with the Patriots this year, that they've shopped him. You know, he wants more money. He's got a $7 million base. And so I think Seattle should get in on that deal. Now, not give a number one. You know, if you get Stephon Gilmore, who in 2019 was Defensive Player of the Year. He's a four-time Pro Bowler, and you know, he had a decent season last year, although I guess he suffered a bad quad injury that he's still trying to recover from. I think what you do is that you know, you see if you can get him for a three and something else and then get him on the roster. You may not give him the contract extension, but I mean, you can take that $7 million and then try to say, okay, we got that. Let's get something done with Adams because we can clear up cap room to be able to do more things. And now you have one of the best secondaries in football with two Pro Bowl safeties, Stephon Gilmore, and either DJ Reed or whoever's going to start on the other side.
So on your scale of 1 to 100, I mean, and likelihood, I mean, this is pretty crazy. Is this a, you know, 10 out of 100 here chance that they pull off something like that? Because that would be a big move.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, that's the one thing that you see in the, you know, in the NFC West. There's so many big moves. And so it's like, for example, you know, we had San Francisco and Seattle trying to do something with Julio Jones, but it didn't make much sense for Seattle, particularly knowing that, you know, they've got the idea that, hey, It's going to be $15.3 million of base salary, and that just, it wouldn't work cap-wise. But in this case, it works cap-wise. And then also, it just buys you a year to, you know, clean up the cornerback position. And that's why it's like, now the only problem is if he thinks he can come here, Gilmore, and get more money, that may not work. But again, you can see that if indeed they can get something done, I mean, Gilmore then can be here for $7 million. Then he'll leave after the season. You'll get a third-round compensatory because he'll be 31, so he'll get a pretty decent deal somewhere else. You have Trey Boston. You have all the other young cornerbacks because, again, all these cornerbacks, for the most part, except for Boston, are up after this year. So, I mean, I just think that if you can pull this one off and not have to give up too much as far as draft choice compensation, it's a great deal.
How many teams do you expect to be realistically in on Gilmore?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was just starting to go through that, and you know, unfortunately, I have to go figure out who still needs cornerbacks. Now you can say that San Francisco could be in that mix, Philadelphia could be in that mix, but also I think you have to be fair to Gilmore. You can't send him to a bad team. So the 49ers are going to be good. You know, you can maybe say that the Raiders could be a candidate for him. Jacksonville's looking for a cornerback, but nobody's going to go there. Houston, no. You can't see that. I counted up there was maybe about four or five teams. New Orleans doesn't have the cap room to be able to do something like that, but they need a cornerback. So I think that you can have a lot of teams in the mix, and then Detroit needs one, but they're going to be a bad team. So it's like, you take the teams that have a chance to be good, and you may put San Francisco, Seattle toward the top of the list. Indy could be in the mix too. They've got a good defense, but they could probably use one more cornerback. So I would think if you're Bill Belichick and you do things the way he does, right, which of course he'll take a guy that's at the top of his game, and then before he starts to drop off, he'll get rid of him. I mean, he's done it so many times. He's done it with Richard Seymour, yeah. Chandler Jones, Darrell Revis. I mean, you go through that whole list, Trey
Jamie
Flowers,
Jamie Collins.
Yeah. And so it's like and if he can be reasonable as far as not asking too much as far as draft choice, and you can see that when they make a move, they can make a move pretty fast. That, to me, puts Seattle in the mix. And John Snyder's going to be in on just about every deal.
Yeah. Well, and he is going into his 10th year.
Yeah.
But like you said, for a one-year deal, that'd be okay. The other thing, John, I think that they do a good job of developing corners here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Richard Sherman, fifth rounder. Deshaun Shedd, who was a safety. I didn't think they would ever get him to play corner. And now he's coaching over
right,
there, by the
right.
way. But
Coach Ed.
Yeah. So I think, to me, I feel like that what they have right now, it's not like, it's an absolute necessity that they get him in here. It would be interesting, but I do feel like they have enough competition and that they've had good luck that if you're going to, go one way or the other on this one, I think you bank on the fact that the Seahawks have been able to – develop good cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt about it. But if you want to say the one what at the moment, what would be the biggest question mark in the team? And you probably have to say cornerback because technically,
agreed.
I mean, we can say that Akello Witherspoon and DJ Reed are the leading candidates to be the starters, but we don't know for sure, and we don't know how good they can be. We know Reed did well last year. We know a couple years ago Witherspoon did some good things. You have Trey Flowers still here, but last couple years hasn't been good for Witherspoon. So it's like, but I mean, here's a chance, and it kind of goes into that Russell Wilson thinking. Here's a chance to go for gold because now, again, if you have three out of your four Pro Bowlers in the secondary, it's not going to be the Legion of Boom, but it's a pretty good Legion.
Yeah. Well, you know what, and John, maybe this isn't fair to Ethan Posick, but when you said biggest question mark, corner comes up. What about center? What about that one I'm kind of torn on. I like Ethan Posick. He looked really good in the first part. He kind of went the way of the offense.
Yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like when they were great, he was great, and then, same thing when things went south, he seemed to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, but also it's like, okay, I still think that they should go for Austin Reeder, the starting center for the Kansas City Chiefs, who's still out there, because he's got starting experience. He'll sign probably for the minimum. And so I think that deal would make a lot of sense to me. And then you have Fuller, you have Reader. And then if necessary, I mean, you saw that Damian Lewis filled in a little bit at that spot last year for a game. And Dexter didn't do too bad. But, yeah. There would be an upgrade there. But at least in the case of the center, you know who the starting center is. It's Ethan Posick. Right now at the cornerback position, we're kind of guessing. We have an educated guess, but is it really going to be right?
Yeah.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. If you guys have questions for John Clayton, we'll try to pass some of those along. John, what do you make of this whole Le'Veon Bell taking shots at Andy Reid? And I told Dave, if a player's in a dispute with Andy Reid, I just automatically take Andy Reid's side.
Yeah,
I agree. Of who he's been, how he's perceived by 99.9% of the people that ever interact with him. I don't care who the player is.
Yeah.
What he and Bell is shown to be a bit of a knucklehead at times, certainly in his career. What do you make of these latest things where he tried to sort of walk it back, saying, I'm not going to apologize for what I said, but I could have kept it behind closed doors?
Yeah, I think that he's getting himself out of the league, basically. I mean, he's burning bridges. And because, you know, when you look and you see, because, I mean, you know, I just think he doesn't like to play anymore, to be honest with you. And, you know, because here Andy was willing to do it, bring him in. But also it's like, hey, Le'Veon, you think you're the best back in the league. Why did you go to Kansas City, which has a very good first-round pick that Andy Reid thinks is maybe the perfect running back that he's always been looking for? He ranked right up there with LeSean McCoy and some of the other great backs that he's had. And so it's like he went there because he didn't have to work. He wasn't going to have to do anything. I mean, he's going to be sitting on the bench, you know, collecting some money, going to the Super Bowl, and it's like, and so he took the easy way out as opposed to going to other teams that would work him and give him a chance to play. I mean, I just get the feeling that, you know, he had to rip Adam Gase. He said all the scheme was the reason I didn't do well with the Jets. Now Andy Reid, don't like him. It's like, I'd retire before I get back with him. And it's like, well, retire. I mean, you know, you're the one that took the stupid tact of you got the franchise number for Pittsburgh. You decide to sit out the whole season, not make any money. I mean, you get less money on the market to go to the Jets, and you blow the chance in about a year and a half with the Jets.
You know, John doesn't like it when he says stupid. So, I like the way you say that.
Is there interest in him from anywhere? I mean, he's currently unsigned.
No.
Is he looked at as a pariah, or he's past his prime? What's the view of him around the league?
Not good. I mean, I think because you notice, I mean, he's not made any visits. Doesn't seem to be any interest hardly in him whatsoever. And I guess you shouldn't be surprised. I mean, what is now, what, 3-4 years since he's done anything good? I mean, he went to the Jets and, you know, he got, you know, what, $13 million a year on that contract. And he had a 3.3 average, which is the worst in Jet history as far as his, you know, rushing average. It was worst in Jets history. Hmm. And so it's like, you know, when was the last time he's played some good football? I mean, you have to really scratch your head. I mean, you scratch your head and ring the bell because I can't figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, he doesn't want to work.
No.
It is. It's work for these guys. And, you know, in love of the game, I mean, you have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's gone bye-bye for him. We were talking to Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, and talking about Matthew Stafford. John, I think we've talked about him a lot on this show over the years, just because he's kind of a hard one to figure out. Now, mm-hmm. He's going into his 13th year. I mean, he's always been like, you've always been like, yeah, he's good, but, you know, is he great? I mean, he threw for 5,000 his third year in his career, and, you know, 4,900. I mean, he's been really, really good, but how much do you think this offense is going to help him? Are we going to see him all of a sudden emerge as being one of those franchise-type quarterbacks?
Well, he is a franchise quarterback. And
yeah, but, I mean, but franchise quarterbacks win in the playoffs?
No. I mean, not if they're going up against other quarterbacks with better teams. I mean, he's just had bad teams around him. I almost want to call it the Archie Manning theory, because Archie Manning was a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback and certainly, you know, put up one Hall of Fame son, and we'll see about what Eli fits in the mix here with his two Super Bowl victories and that. But Archie was great mean, he's one of the best in the game, but he couldn't do anything as far as winning because the teams were so bad down in New Orleans. And it's the same thing for Detroit. I mean, you know, Detroit's had bad defenses. They've had bad coaches. They've had, you know, ownership that hasn't done much. And so it's like they're constantly changing the roster and changing coaches and maybe sometimes changing coaches a little bit too late. But you know, it's like he's 0-4 in the playoffs. I mean, it's like, you know, Kirk Cousins has not won a playoff game. And he's a good quarterback. But I think that, you know, you're looking at a former first pick in the draft who's very talented. This is he goes now with the Rams, the best team he's been on in his career.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, it's funny.
And by the way, you know where Lindsay grew up, right?
Oh, gosh. Did she go to your high school, John?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Does she live in your neighborhood?
Oh, she grew up here.
Yeah, about, I'd
two
say...
Two doors down from the professor.
No. Actually, about 8 to 10 houses from the BMAC.
Oh, okay.
She lives between you and Scott Service, right?
No, she lives past the BMAC.
Okay. Okay.
Why did she go to L.A. and cover the Rams? Why didn't she stay here and do
the
Seahawks?
Opportunity.
I don't know.
You know, I was just looking at Archie Manning's record, John. Mm-hmm. According to Pro Football, not Focus, but reference.
Reference, yeah.
Yeah, 35-101-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Archie didn't win.
What was his completion percentage? I'm just curious. We talked about quarterbacks in those days where
his average is 55%.
Not bad. Mm. It's better than Bradshaw, I think, who was at
53 or something like that.
Yeah. If you look at like Elway, I want to say Elway is like 57.
Mm-hmm. So
it's fascinating to me. But, John, the game has gotten much more favorable for the quarterbacks in the offense, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it went in cycles because, again, it was a running game, defensive game back in the 70s. Then Bill Walsh came in with the that basketball-style West Coast offense, and that picked things up and it added some percentages for Elway and all the quarterbacks from 83. And then, you still had a little bit of a defensive run right when the Cowboys with Jimmy Johnson was taking control with Troy Aikman and all those different things. And then finally you get to 1998 when Peyton Manning comes in, and then he starts opening the game up even more, particularly with the way that he was calling plays and doing different things. And then Tom Brady came in, and all of a sudden it became just a great league for quarterbacks, and the numbers keep getting up and getting better and better and better.
John, the 415 wants to know, is Marquise Blair the leading candidate to win that slot cover corner spot?
Marquise Blair, debatable. I mean, because, again, we'll see where Trey Boston fits. I know they prefer him to be on the outside.
Trey Brown.
I mean, so I think you can see that. I think you can look at you still got Ugo Amadi, but there's no doubt that he's going to be in the mix because particularly if they go two tight ends against him and you still have a big receiver. I mean, he's big, and so I think you can put him out there. But he's definitely in the mix. I don't know if he's the favorite though.
Yeah. He looked really good out there the other day, running around anyway. So we'll see what happens.
Who did, Brown or Boston?
No. I'm talking about Blair. You're going to get me screwed up now. How about, did we ask about Danielle Hunter?
No, we didn't.
Yet? No, okay. You didn't. No.
But even sure if we did, you can do that. It's
Kyler Murray playing baseball.
Yeah, I was going to ask that next.
All right. Yeah, anyway, the deal that Danielle Hunter did you have the details of that, John?
Details. I mean, I guess what they did is that they, gave him $5.6 million as a signing bonus. They added like about an $18 million deal at the back end of his contract, but we haven't seen the whole deal yet. But I mean, he was complaining like crazy, but they did take care of him after he missed most of the season last year with an injury. So they need his pass rush, and they need more pass rush. Also they're in the final stages of seeing if they can get a deal done with Sheldon Richardson and bring him back to Minnesota.
Yeah. So, 14 and a half sacks last year. The last 2 years. Danielle Hunter.
He was out last year.
He missed last year.
Yeah.
Did he opt out or was he injured?
No, he was hurt.
Yeah. So he had 14 and a half sacks the previous 2 years. So, pretty solid.
By the way, some of the texters pointing out that Kirk Cousins beat the Saints, I think, in 19 in the divisional playoffs.
Oh, okay. So yeah. He got the one win. Right.
Yeah. He's got one.
Yeah,
You know what that would be one more than Matthew Stafford has.
That would be true.
Yeah.
One more than Andy Dalton have, and he's QB number one in Chicago.
At least that's what he'll tell you.
Yeah. But, well, that's what the coaches say.
Kirk Cousins, he won because of that ridiculous play by the Saints. Remember where the safety turned down?
Oh, right.
Hit the guy.
Yeah.
And they miraculously scored a touchdown. I can't remember who it was.
I don't recall either.
Yeah.
I figured if anybody was going to remember, it'd be you.
I just thought that it was basically a play that was, I think it came about because the guy didn't want to get a penalty for spearing or, you know, hitting a defenseless. I don't think there's such a thing on the field. Once you walk across the lines, you're defensive. Not defenseless.
Yeah, and that's why I'm against the idea of making it a spot foul type penalty, or making it a 15 yards.
Yeah, like take college.
I that's why I don't like it, because again, I mean, it's going to take away offense, and it's like, hey, we watch offense being taken away in baseball so much. Why do you want to take away offense? Because if you're a defensive back and you have a choice on being beaten for a 30-35 yard play or get a 15 yard penalty, you'll crack the guy, hurt him, and then try to take the 15 yards.
John, the 253, or no, it just refreshed. There it is, 253. How is Jimmy G looking in San Francisco, and what are Jacob Eason's odds in Indy?
He's looking pretty good. I mean, his spirits are good. Again, it's not like they're doing a lot, but I know, for example, spent a lot of time last week talking to John Lynch because I have a Washington Post piece coming out tomorrow on the 49ers and their off season. And so, Jimmy's taking it well, but I mean, Trey Lance is really doing a good job. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that he's going to wrestle away playing time, but they feel good about both. But here's where the big deal is, and the communication factor with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they kept Jimmy totally informed that they were going to get a quarterback. Totally. They kept his agent informed, Don Yee. They made sure that there was no question. It's like, listen, it's not like we don't like you. We like you. We want you to start this year, but we need to find that long-term quarterback of the future. I mean, your contract runs out next year. You're making $27.5 million. You missed 23 of 48 games, but we still love you as a quarterback, but we got to find that long-term answer, and that long-term answer is Trey Lance.
That might have been the quote of the year, I thought, offseason, when Kyle Shanahan said,
"Oh yeah."
I can't guarantee that he's going to be alive.
Mm-hmm. No, we can't guarantee that anybody is going to be alive over the weekend.
We're all lucky.
Yeah.
We made it past that day. John, we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.